Joe Blewett,
Brandon Dowling,
and the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett as, hey, we bring you a Jet Nation Radio Jets Win edition. This is a limited edition show here on Jet Nation Radio that we have been able to bring to you only three times, it looks like, in 2014. As the New York Jets pull out a game that, you know, I love using this term. Everybody likes to use it when there's a bad game. Setback football may be 10 years after that football game on Sunday. If you had the pleasure of watching the Jets take on the Titans, I assume you had nothing else to do on your Sunday, or you're just a diehard Jets fan like myself who watches the Jets no matter what. As another game, another, you know, performance that kind of – I sat here last week and I said the Jets are going to blow out the Titans because I honestly thought – that the New York Jets, when you compare paper rosters to the Tennessee Titans, are not even, you know, they're not even close, you know. The Jets have a lot more talent on their roster. Their quarterback situation is even better than Tennessee's. I mean, it's, you looked at these two teams, you said, wow, you know, the Giants lost to Jacksonville, blowing a 21-point lead, and they go in and they blow the doors off of the Titans. The Jets go in there, and it's an all-out war with brawls and, you know, game coming down to the wire. I mean, it was almost disappointing to me that the Jets didn't say, you know, we're bad, but we're not this bad. And as Jet fans, we saw that they are that bad. I mean, they are at the same level as a team like that, and it's a shame because you saw the defense play okay at times. I mean, what are you going up against? I mean, how can you really judge positives and negatives from this football game? Because your positives, okay, Geno Smith played a, you know, turnover-free game. He played okay, moved the ball efficiently at times. What are you playing? What type of defense are you going up against? Okay, your negatives. You know, your biggest negative is you showed you're on the same level as a Tennessee Titan. That was my biggest negative that I took out from this game. So I think you give Geno Smith a little credit. You know, he put together a performance good enough to win on Sunday. I mean, it comes down to it. The Jets were in a position to either get the second pick or the sixth pick as it stood on Sunday, obviously. There's a lot more football to be played for that. And, you know, a lot of talk about people, you know, wanting to see the Jets lose for, you know, a better draft positioning. I don't know if in my position that's my, you know, the stance that I took on it. But in terms of this game, the way I looked at it, absolute barn burner, horrible football game, two bad teams duking it out, probably horrible ratings on TV. It's just a low point, another low point of the season for the Jets. You beat the Titans, nobody cares. You lose to the Titans, everybody, you know, puts you even on a even lower pedestal. But with that being said, let's go to my man Joe. What's going on?
It's a good week, Brandon. You know, finals are almost done. I'm done on Saturday with school, so that's about the only reason. Obviously, your boy Manziel had a rough Sunday. You know, 10 for 18, 80 yards and two picks. Sanchez had another bad game.
First ever start, my man.
Oh yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding, but you know, like you said before, it looked like a 2-11 team versus a 2-11 team. Both teams were literally trying to hand each other the game. That was probably one of the worst football games from both sides of the ball I've ever seen from both teams. And again, we're breaking history, Brandon. That was the only game ever in the NFL to end 16-11. So I guess we have that. But other than that, you know, it was a terrible game. You know, there's negatives and positives. There's a little bit more positives this week, but like you said before, you know, we're playing the Titans, so what does it really matter? They had their third-string quarterback in there, and they only had three healthy receivers. Exactly. So you can't take too much away from it. I was honestly quite disappointed with the defensive line and how they didn't, you know, put a lot of pressure on their quarterbacks because their offensive line is decimated, and they're not a good offensive line at all. But the thing I was D-line was Quentin Copels, and that's something I actually want to ask you about, Brandon, was Quentin Copels has had, Mo's been out for, it was three consecutive games now, and Quentin Copels had four QB hits, he had two tackles for loss, and he had a sack. So my question to you is, do you think that we could possibly, you know, obviously not this year, but do you think if a guy like, you know, Quinn came in from Seattle, he would move the Jets to a 4-3 defense, and then maybe you have Harrison and either Sheldon or Wilkerson inside, and then have Sheldon and Wilkerson and Copels outside? Like, what would you think of that? Because I honestly think that moving Copels back to his natural position that he played in college and that he played his first year in the NFL, he's actually looked a lot better.
I mean, let's be honest here. I think that if there's an old saying, if it's not fixed, I mean, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. I mean, it comes down to it. Are you really going to bring in a guy who's going to readjust the entire defensive scheme and kind of throw in away what has been established here on defense? I mean, the remarkable thing about it, and it's a mind-boggling number to me. This is a 3-10 football team, or, you know, 3-11 football team, and they have the number 6th ranked defense in the NFL. They have a chance to finish in the top 5 in defense this year. With the amount of, you know, the amount of players that they are putting out on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you basically have Sheldon Richardson, and that's it on defense in terms of star-type caliber players. You have average at best, below-average secondary, and you're looking at a number, regardless on if you, there are a lot of people out there who don't agree with the way defense is judged and, you know, how defenses are ranked. It is what it is. That's how defenses are ranked. If you go look at the top 10 defenses in the league right now on NFL.com/stats, the New York Jets have the 6th ranked defense in the NFL. With their record, that might break a record for you know, a team with had this bad having a defense ranked that high. I mean, if I'm looking at it from this point of view, and if I'm the Jets, I'm not bringing in a guy who's going to change the defensive culture of this team. If I'm going to get rid of Rex Ryan, guess what? A lot of people, and I say it over and over again, you want to chase a guy out of town, you want to get rid of Rex Ryan, well, guess what? When you get rid of Rex Ryan, that defensive game plan goes with him. And when you're getting used to watching how the Jets defense have played over the last years, it's going to change. But do I think that they should change the scheme of it? No. I think if the Jets are going to bring in a new coach, they need to go for a coach on the offensive side of the ball, because that's where the problems are. You can trot out Marcus Williams, Jaquan Jarrett, Calvin Pryor, Calvin Pace. Okay, you can trot those guys out there and trot out average players, below average players in the secondary, and still be the 6th ranked defense. But you trot out Eric Decker, Percy Harvin, Jeremy Curley, Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson on the offensive side of the ball, and your offense is in the bottom of the league. So it's obvious to me that this team's, you know, quote-unquote downfall is their offense, you know, going forward. So does that mean you bring in another offense coordinator? I don't know if that's the solution. But if you're going to bring in a head coach and you want to talk about changing schemes and changing everything, I don't think you touch the defensive side of the ball. I think you leave it alone. But I definitely see if the Jets want to bring in a new head coach, you have to bring in a guy who's an offensive guru, quote unquote.
Oh yeah, I wasn't necessarily saying to change the defense, but, you know, just the situation. If a new guy did come in here, and then we all talk about possibly David Harris leaving, you know, what could happen to the defense? But that's not near here nor there. But that'll be in the future, and more of the offseason talk. But and the thing about it too is, Brandon, I'm honestly hoping that Dennis Thurman stays, because I'm hoping that he you know, learned a lot of things from Rex. And in my personal opinion, the two best coaching candidates, other than maybe a Brian Kelly from Notre Dame or a guy like Jim Harbaugh, is two defensive coordinators, and that would be Quinn, and that would be the defensive coordinator from the Cardinals. So I'm not too sure what we're going to do there. But to get into some more negatives about the game, Brandon, I think, again, the game showed how unathletic our linebackers were when David Harris had that ball, basically hit him in the chest, and he dropped it. And then to get to your point about the 7-ranked defense, I actually figured out a stat that we're the 31st third down defense, which is the most important time of any defensive possession, and we're 31st there. So, you know, we have a problem with getting off the field on third down. It's terrible. It's just about like every third down, every third and long, like third and 12. It's just like, okay, they're going to pick it up. And obviously the stats show it, where there's only one team worse than us. I'm not sure who it is, but that's an embarrassing stat. I think Marty still made some questionable coaching decisions. Like we all saw when he ran a QB draw on third and 21. Which I really don't understand. You know, when you're a 2-11 team, take some shots. You know, maybe throw the ball.
That, yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because we definitely have a chance. You know, Geno breaking, you know, four or five tackles and then running for a first down. So that was definitely a good play. And then, you know, something else that actually pissed me off, Brandon, too, was what do you think would happen if Peyton Manning or Tom Brady got punched on the face in this case? And you know what? I was so shocked that nobody got kicked out of the game or anything happened with that. I was appalled that, you know, they hold different quarterbacks to different standards. Because I know if that was a really high up guy like Brady or Manning, you know, they got kicked out. So that's something else that pissed me off too.
Oh my God! I mean, if that was Tom Brady, I think those guys would have got arrested. I think they would have got taken out of the stadium in handcuffs. I thought that was ridiculous. I thought you never know what's going on the field. And Geno Smith just said it was typical trash talk, but I thought that was absolutely asinine. And I love the way that Nick Mangold and the offensive line came out like the Broad Street Bullies and tried to go and went right back at him. So I think that was, you know, it shows, it, you know what it does to me, Joe, it shows that, guess what? A guy like Nick Mangold, who's been on this team in playoff success, you know, he's been here for a while. He's a Jet from all the way through and through. And he comes out and says, I don't care that we're 2-11. I don't care that Geno Smith has been up and down all year on the bench, in the game. This is still our quarterback. He's still our guy right now. If you're going to punch him in the face, I'm going to punch you in the face. Not that that's right. I don't want to say that that's right. But it just shows you, as you're sitting there as a Jet fan, that these guys, when people tell you, oh, the Jets don't have heart, the Jets don't put, you know, the Jets have, you know, mailed it in for the season. That, to me, right there, shows you as a fan sitting there that these guys still give a damn out there on the field, that they're getting in and defending their players and defending their teammates, and that they still care. Whether that's going to translate to anything going forward for the rest of this year and into next year, I don't know. But in terms of that, obviously, if that was Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, you know, and they get punched in the face like that, I mean, that guy, it's going to be a heavy, heavy fine regardless for Woodyard for what happened in the game. But I thought it was ridiculous. But I really like to see the way that the offensive line came to defense of their quarterback.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We definitely need more guys like Mangold. And like I said last week, like a guy like Sheldon Richardson. And then you even see, you know, Brando Giacomini taking 3-on-1 and getting punched in the face on the ground by Darrell Casey, which is just ridiculous. That's another reason I just don't understand that guy wasn't thrown out after throwing, I think I saw like maybe 3 or 4 punches when Brando Giacomini was on the ground. So that was just absolutely out of control. But you know what I saw from the game too, it was I know the game was pointless, and you know it is, and it was kind of hard to watch it. That was one of the only games where I actually wasn't excited, and at halftime I was actually kind of falling asleep, not gonna lie, because it's just a pointless season. I'm one of the biggest diehard Jets fans out there, but this season is wasted. It really sucks. But something I'm starting to see, and this isn't just this game. It's from the last couple of games. Is a guy like IK who actually did pretty good, Brandon.
I like, you know, calling him Ick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will now refer to IK as Ick, because his full name is like Ikenapua Fumblemini Ekenekenpoly, whatever. So I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. So we'll call him Ick. But you know, he had two batted passes, and then of course he gets a huge sack and penalty flag. Wow, I wonder who that's from. Kyle Wilson holding. So, you know, Ick is starting to show up a little bit. And a guy like Trevor Riley is actually doing very, very well on special teams. And one more thing about the game too, Brandon, is guess who, you get to say one word. Who got another penalty that I'm going to talk about right now?
That's Willie Colon, your buddy.
Yes, my buddy Willie Colon. You know, there was two games where he didn't have a penalty, and I was actually a little bit impressed that he didn't have any type of penalty. But you know, he was at 12 before the game, and then he comes into the game, and I'm like, you know what? He has to catch up a little bit. And I guess he was texting his friends and figured out that his stats, you know, weren't aligned. So he had to get two penalties. He had an illegal hand to the face, and then he had a, I believe it was a false start or a false start or a holding call. So you know, that guy needs to go. I'm getting so angry, Brandon. I don't even know what to do with myself when there's a flag and they say number 66. I start to go crazy.
Oh, it's you know what it is, Joe? It's every Jet fan is just going through the motions with these football games. I'm telling you right now. I mean, we'll sit here and talk about this game because, you know, we talk all things New York Jets, but the amount of people that actually sit with that football game, and it's like every Jet fan sitting there going, is this over yet? Is this over yet? They all want to anticipate what's going to happen after the year. Who are we going to sign in free agency? Who's going to be the head coach? Who's going to be the general manager? What position are we going to pick in the draft? These games are pointless, but I will tell you something else, Joe. And I'm not going to give away my sneak peek on my surprise for the end of the show. But I have a funny feeling that there's going to be a little extra, regardless if the 3-11 Jets, right? Regardless of that, there's going to be a little extra oomph, I would say. We'll use oomph as the word of the night tonight. There's going to be a little extra oomph this week against the Patriots at home. Regardless of the Jets record, divisional game, throw it out the window. The Jets went up to Foxborough last time, and the Jets played a perfect game, still lost on a last second attempt field goal by Nick Folk. But I just have this, and I had it starting right around, I woke up around Monday, I went to Dunkin' Donuts, got my coffee, I saw the little, you know, Jets run on Dunkin' thing that they have outside the Dunkin', and I said, really? I said, you know something? This week feels just a little bit different. I don't know if it's whether the fact that everybody who's parking in lot L is going to be directed to their own parking space. I don't know if it's going to be the fire John Idzik flags that are going to be in the stadium. Hell, I don't even know if it's going to be Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski walking down the tunnel. And I just hate those guys with a burning passion. And I wake up on Monday realizing they're coming to our town this week. I don't know if it's any of those three things. But I just got this feeling in my stomach that the 3-11 Jets might show up for a little bit of a non-primetime kind of side note football game fight on Sunday. What do you think about that, Joe?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think that the Jets are going to get blown out. We usually don't versus the Patriots, other than some
That's
rare
not what I
where
asked
we
you.
Do get
That's
blown out.
That's not what
oh, yeah,
I
no.
asked you. I asked you if you feel that same little extra oomph in your stomach?
Oh, I think all of the word of the day oomph is found out of me right now. You know, it's
so you have so when you woke up on Monday morning, right? And you dusted off your jersey that you wore on Sunday. You put it back in the closet for next week. You didn't have that little. Wow, you know, this week I feel, you know, you got season tickets, so you're going to the game on Sunday. You don't feel like a little extra excitement or a little something in your stomach that, you know, we're playing the Patriots on Sunday. How great would it be to, you know, spoil their party of being the number one seed and ruin their chance at home field advantage going into the playoffs? You don't feel that little extra oomph in your stomach?
Oh, yeah, well, no, I guess there's a little more oomph just because we're playing the Patriots, and obviously me and you hate Tom Brady and Bill Belichick just about more than anybody I know. So, yeah, I would love to see them win. Do I think they're going to win? No. Do I think it's gonna be close? Probably, but you know, I can honestly tell you when I woke up on Monday, I wasn't thinking about anything Jets, more about, you know, my accounting and friggin' economics test, but you know, at this point, like I said before, it's just a waste in the season. So I guess there's a little tiny bit more.
You just completely deflated my. I was ready to go to war on Sunday. I was ready to get my shield, get my spear.
Are you going, Brandon?
paint my face. I was ready to go into MetLife Stadium to do battle. I could have even suited up, and I could have had the fans chant my name like Rudy, and I would have went and played defensive line and got a sack on Sunday. And you just completely defeated everything.
You got to wait. Are you going to the game on Sunday, Brandon?
I am not going to disclose my plans at this point in time for Sunday afternoon.
So basically that means I want to see if the tickets go down a little bit, and then I'll get them if they go down a little bit. Brandon, if I swear that if I go to the Jets game and, you know, I get a text, hey, I'm there, where are you at? And I get a text and you show up to my tailgate and your face is not painted, I am done. I'm done with the show. I'm done with everything. You just told me that your face will be painted and I would pay money to see you come to the game.
I'm not going to do that because you're not ready to go do battle with me. You don't have the oomph for this week. You're sitting here 3-11 going through the motions.
Brandon,
I don't care. Tom Brady's going to throw 5 touchdown passes. We're going to lose 52-10, and then we're going to sit here and poor Rex is going to get ridiculed all week and then get fired.
No, he's going to throw 4 touchdowns and they're going to have 42 points. But if you know that if I go to the Jets game, I will be ready with my battle cry and I will be pumped up. I'm just not pumped up, you know, Monday through Saturday, but you know when I get there on Sunday that I will be ready. I always lose my voice in the first possession of the game, so you know I'll show up.
Right.
So I'm going to say that if you don't have your face painted, that I'm going to be truly, truly disappointed.
Well, I guess we'll have to see what happens. We're going to take a quick break here on Jet Nation Radio. When we come back, Jet fans, the question of the night, of course, is on that last play with 1 second left as the Tennessee Titans are running to the end zone. Is there any part of you that was sitting and watching that game going, run, get in the end zone, run? Were you rooting against the Jets on Sunday for draft stock? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Pack in the wind. Battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up. Punk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up. Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
Back come off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. And, you know, my question to every Jet fan out there was, were you sitting on the edge of your seat on the last play of the game against the Jets and Titans, rooting for them to score on a last chance, you know, Music City Miracle type play, the band is out on the field type Hail Mary play at the end of the game there, for draft positioning reasons? I mean, here's my whole take on that. I will never, ever sit here and root against the Jets, ever. I will never, ever sit here and root for the Jets to lose football games because of draft stock, because at the end of the day, draft stock means nothing. If you covet a guy, guess what? If you're the New York Jets and you like Marcus Mariota and you think Marcus Mariota is the future of your team, the future of your organization, the guy that you want on the Wheaties box, if you think Marcus Mariota is that guy, then you trade up no matter where you are and you get him. You want to go from 6 to 2 to get him? You do that. You want to go from 15 to 2 to get him? You do that. You have chips to play with. You didn't make any moves and trade up last year. If you covet a guy, trade up and go get him. That's what, you know, RG3 with the Redskins, regardless if it was a good move or not, regardless if they're kicking themselves in the butt for it now, they coveted a guy, they went up and they got him. The Falcons coveted Julio Jones, they went up and they got him. I don't care about losing games for draft stock to make things easier. Guess what? Suck it up. The Jets won a football game. It is what it is. I don't want to hear people, what do you think, the players that go out there and get paid are going to care about draft positioning? They don't care. How about these guys on one-year contracts? They don't even know if they're going to be in the NFL next year. You think they care about the Jets draft positioning? No, they care about winning football games. And guess what? I loved Rex Ryan's reaction when they asked him point blank, Rex, what do you think about fans being upset about winning this football game and, you know, lowering your draft pick? He said, tough, and then he couldn't say it in a press conference, and I'm not going to say it here live on the air. But he's right. He's right. You think these guys that put their blood, sweat, and tears into these football games every week give a crap about going out there and losing football games for future draft picks? Absolutely not. It's a joke. I see where the fan is coming from, because the fan always wants best for the fan. The fan always wants to see a good product on the field, and the fan wants to see a good, consistent product on the field. And I don't think a Jet fan has ever seen a solid, consistent product on the field. And if you think that Marcus Mariota is the guy, sure, you're going to root for the Jets to lose football games so they have better picks. But guess what?
Yeah.
If the Jets want somebody, they'll go get him. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it's a joke. No player is going to come out who's playing for either a couple $1 million or, you know, for a potential job and be like, oh, well, maybe I won't catch this guy, or I'll let him break my tackle because I want a better draft pick when I might not even be on the team next year. And then on top of that, the draft, obviously it matters dropping from 4 to 6, and instead of it only costing us 2 firsts to get from 4 to 1, it would probably cost us, 2 firsts and a second, a third, and a fourth to move up to number one. But the thing about that, too, is I don't even know if one of these guys is even worth trading up for.
And that's their decision to make, Joe. But that's what I'm saying is, guess what? If any football team or any team covets a player and they think that he's going to change their franchise for the next 5 to 10 years, giving up, you know, an X amount of picks is not even a question. It's not even You know what I mean?
Yeah, even if it wasn't for a quarterback, say they wanted to move up to 4 because Amari Cooper was still there and we got rid of Percy Harvin and wanted to grab a guy like that. If you think he's a guy who's going to change the face of your franchise for the next 5 to 10 years, then yeah, you go do it. And like I said before, I'm really not sure if Mariota or Winston's that. You know, you have Winston's problems with his off the field stuff, with the crab legs, with yelling stuff on park benches or wherever he was. Mariota is from a system that translates not well at all to the NFL. It's a one read offense.
Tony Dungy said he's like Aaron Rodgers, Joe.
Yeah, well, the thing about his offense is he makes one read. He looks at receiver X okay, he's not open, I'm going to throw it to my check down or something like that. He doesn't have to make three or four reads in one play, so I'm not even sure he's worth trading down for. And then at the same time, Brandon, at this point last year, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was a top five pick guaranteed, and then 2 years ago, Geno was a top five lock. So it's so early to want to lose for draft picks in December because, like I said before, a guy like Bridgewater could move down to number whatever he was, 26 or no, he was actually 32, I believe. He was the last pick of the first round. So you know you're not gonna do that. And on top of that, Brandon, I don't know if you heard it on David Letterman last night. I don't know. I'm not sure if you watched it, but I saw it on ESPN. They did like a top 10 things or something like that, what you learned or what you were thinking of when you got the Heisman. And obviously it went down from 10 to 3. And, you know, there's little things like, oh, I was thinking don't drop it, don't drop the Heisman, don't spike it, things like that. And then he gets to 3. Yeah. And his quote is, I'd like to play in the NFL. Does New York have any professional teams? So I'm not even sure he wants to come to New York. I thought that was pretty funny that he's basically crapping on teams that he might be on.
What's funny is if you listen to Boomer and Carton too, they actually Boomer Esiason actually did an interview with him point blank on CBS, and he asked him, you know, would you want to play for the Jets? And he said, absolutely. He goes, I'm going to play wherever I get drafted, and I'm going to hope to change their franchise and hope to, you know, grow into something special. I think it's, you're not looking at a guy like Eli Manning who's going to force his way out of a situation or something like that. I mean, I think it's silly to be in a position where you want to, you know, root against your team for draft picks, because I always think if you covet a guy, you will do what it takes to go get him. Guess what, Joe? Who did they covet in the 2009 draft? Who was the guy that they coveted?
Oh, I don't even remember. Tell me the name.
It was Mark Sanchez. The quarterback is Mark Sanchez. The guy that, you know, regardless of, guess what? We'll sit here and say, well, Marcus Mariota is not the guy. Marcus Mariota is a system quarterback. Marcus Mariota this. Jameis Winston doesn't have the mental, you know, the mental stability to be a guy in New York. Jameis Winston doesn't have the ability to play quarterback for the Jets. We can say that all as we want. The Jets have people in place that get paid millions of dollars to make those decisions. Obviously, the people who have been making those decisions have been way off, and they need to make different decisions or bring in different people. So if you covet a guy, go get him. And that's what, and it was so funny because I was listening to Boomer and Carton this morning, and Craig Carton said the exact same thing. He said, guess what? Who cares? He actually said that if John Idzik had any stones, he would go up and trade for anybody that he wanted and use his chips. And he's right. Mike Tannenbaum did that. He thought Mark Sanchez was going to be the future of this franchise. He thought Mark Sanchez was going to be the quarterback here for the next 5 to 10 years. He thought Mark Sanchez was, you know, good enough to be a franchise player and lead this team for, you know, a long time to come. And he went up and he made the move and he got him. That's what the Jets are missing. You sit back and you're so conservative. Well, guess what? In my opinion, John Idzik's conservative approach has played the Jets right into a 3-11 record. You know, go out. You think Odell Beckham's your guy? Go out and trade up for him. You think Mike Evans is your guy? Go out and trade up for him. What did the Buffalo Bills do? The Buffalo Bills said, Sammy Watkins is our guy on offense. He's going to be our stud here for the next 10 years. What did they do? They went up and they traded up for him. So my point on this, and the reason why I'm talking about this, is stop worrying about draft positioning. Let the Jets fall where they fall. If they want a guy, if they covet a guy, they'll go up and they'll get him. Let's go to Zach, who wants to talk about the draft. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Zach?
You know, with the draft, you know, about to come, I feel that the Jets, you know, are probably going to miss out on the Mariota sweepstakes, you know, even with maybe the sixth or seventh pick. You know, there's no really chance of them getting Mariota or Winston.
There's always a chance. What happens if they trade up?
Right. That's the thing. They may trade up, you know, but how likely? Why would they trade up? Do you think it's worth them trading up for Mariota, or do you think they should trade for one of the quarterbacks that is currently in the league?
No, I think that it's all about whoever is making the decisions for the Jets and whoever is, you know, whatever general manager it is, whether it's John Idzik, whether it's a new general manager, whatever the case may be, if they want Marcus Mariota, go get him. If you want Jameis Winston, go get him. If you want to bring in another quarterback, go get him too. You can make it's very easy for us to sit here and look for guys to be able to, you know, fall where they may in the draft positioning and say, well, only if you lose this game or you should lose these two games. It doesn't matter. If you want a guy, you can go out and get him.
That's right. Yeah, you know, you're right on. You hit that right on the spot. You know, that's clearly the case. You know, the Jets clearly don't have any quarterback on the roster that's gonna probably be on the team. You know, maybe except for Geno, maybe as a backup. But you know, they gotta seriously start looking at towards the future. You know, they gotta make this team, you know, a legitimate threat. You know, can't just have New England keep winning these pennants, you know, whatever, and these, you know, they keep racking it up with. You know, with Belichick, you know, they got to turn things around. And you know, we deserve better than this as New Yorkers. You know, New York should, you know, it's a very, very big overhead. You know, the fans expect better. You know, obviously, you know, as fans, we didn't get what we wanted this year. But, you know, we got to hope for the best, and we got to hope Woody's got a plan.
Hey, no doubt about it. I just don't think at this point you can say that there's no doubt about it that they can't get a guy like Mariota or a guy like Winston, because you look at a thing like Bridgewater's pro day and his hands were too small or whatever it was, and he dropped from being a top five lock to number 32 pick. So I think there's so much more time to evaluate these guys, look at their tape and see what happens. And it's not even like the number one through five pick are the best players. You look at a guy like Jamarcus Russell, who's taken number one and he was terrible. Or even look at a couple years ago, last year we take a guy like Sheldon Richardson, and he's the 13th pick and he's better than any guy in the top 12 or before that. So you can get a guy anywhere in the draft, and it's not like we necessarily even need to take a guy in the first round. You could take a guy like Petty or a guy like Cook in the second round, and if you think a guy like a Randy Gregory from Nebraska or a guy like Vic Beasley or Stanley, the tackle from Notre Dame, or any of these tackles, you know, the guy from Iowa, if you think one of these guys is the best, or even a guy like Amari Cooper, if you think one of these guys is the best, you take them. You don't have to necessarily just take a quarterback just because that's a need. You don't do that with a top six pick. You get the best player available. You get who you think is going to change the franchise. And if you have to get a quarterback like a Hoyer in free agency, and we have to wait another year, then we have to wait another year, because I'd rather wait another year and get a franchise guy than just take a shot on a quarterback who we're not sure about. So that's how I feel about that.
Right. You know, I totally agree. You know, they may not get, you know, Mariota, or even if they do, they'd probably have to trade it to get him. But, you know, guys like Amari Cooper, you know, these guys can really, really be good, you know, if the Jets decide to draft these type of players. You know, I agree with you. You know, the top, you know, couple of picks in the draft aren't, you know, the greatest picks in the draft. You know, some of them turn out to be busts. You know, some of them actually turn out to be quite solid, as we've seen from previous drafts. But, you know, as you know, even if the, you know, what the Jets should really be looking at, their main focus should be going into the offseason, you know, drafting a quarterback, drafting a cornerback, and then, you know, you got to hope that, you know, Woody can bring in some, you know, pieces to the puzzle and, you know, make some noise in free agency. I'm not asking for him to bring in the biggest guy, you know, like, I don't know, like a Vincent Jackson, or I don't even know if they'd be interested in a guy like that. But, you know, they got to bring some weapons here, you know, show fans that you have a plan that's going to make them want to come to games and buy tickets. Because as of now, you know, a lot of the fans on the opponent's team have been coming to MetLife Stadium, and I think honestly Woody's getting the message. You know, he's realizing that Jet fans, you know, are disappointed, which they should be, and that, you know, he's got to turn this team around, otherwise, you know, chaos is going to happen. Because after all, this is New York, you know.
Of course, I think that you're right on. I think you hit the nail right on the head. There's a ton of change that's coming here. Whether they decide to do that in the offseason, again, remains to be seen. It's all about who is making the decisions. We can sit here and talk about Rex Ryan getting fired, new coach coming in, new quarterback coming in, new coordinators coming in. But you don't know any of that because you don't know who is going to be calling the shots. So we can make all the decisions we want right now. We can play, you know, we can try and foresee the future, but it's not going to happen. Because until we find out who's going to be calling the shots, whether it's going to be John Idzik or somebody else, or whether it's going to be, you know, a new group, a new regime coming in here, we can't make those decisions. One thing I wanted to get to was we actually got a question on Twitter from @RichJets. You can follow him. Rich Gonzalez tweeted at us, "I think Geno has been doing better, and given a better lineman time, I think he can do it. What's your take?" You know, Rich, I think that Geno Smith has definitely showed some signs of improving and definitely, you know, showed some flashes that he can be a competitive quarterback in this league this year. But the problem is a guy who's so inconsistent and in a position where he was given the keys to the castle this year, and he just hasn't come up at one point this year to make you say, wow, this is our guy. I think Geno Smith, you know, is in a situation now where anything he does at this point of the year, it might be too little too late. If Geno Smith or Michael Vick is the starting quarterback for the Jets next year, that place, the MetLife Stadium, might be half empty, because I don't think anybody believes in Geno Smith. I don't think anybody in the organization believes in Geno Smith. I don't think any of the fans believe in Geno Smith. I don't even know if Geno Smith believes in Geno Smith. I don't think anybody believes in Michael Vick. I don't think any of the fans. I think that it's the quarterback for this team is not on the roster. And one thing I wanted to bring up, Joe, and this was me, again, going to Dunkin' Donuts on Monday. It's a very nice trip to Dunkin' Donuts, by the way.
I drove up by your house. It's terrible.
It's not. It's very nice. And I actually thought the Chicago Bears have had a very disappointing season. Am I right?
That would be an understatement.
Right. The amount of talent that they have on that team, you know, the expectations they had going into this year, the Chicago Bears were definitely looked at as a playoff team, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, I definitely thought before the year, you know, especially the way their offense played last year, they definitely had a chance to get there, so yeah.
All right, let's go with yes or no answers here. We'll
yes, I'll give you a yes.
Okay. Their quarterback, Mr. Jay Cutler, he's due a big check next year. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. What do you say? This is a different question. What do you say the odds of the Chicago Bears wanting to go in a different direction and not pay Jay Cutler that amount of money and start shopping him around for a draft pick? Just give me an odds.
35%?
Really?
Yes, and after you're done talking, I will give you my reasoning, but go ahead.
Okay, but I need a guy behind the scenes. I know Jerry's running the Twitter and I'm running the phones. I need somebody behind the scenes on Jet Nation Radio to tell me what Jay Cutler is due next year in terms of what he's going to get paid. Salary and signing bonus, whatever it is. How much is Jay Cutler getting paid next year? Somebody out there in the Twitter world, Jerry behind the scenes, I need some help. I want to know what Jay Cutler is due to make next year. But my next point, if you're the New York Jets and you're in a position where you're drafting fifth or sixth and you can get an Amari Cooper and you can get an offensive lineman, hold on a second.
Brandon, I got the info for you if you wanted the contract.
Oh, you already got – oh, yeah. How much is Jay Cutler getting paid? Thank you.
Next year, he's getting paid $15.5 million. The next year after that is $16, then it drops down to $12, $13,
ooh, $17,
and
$19. Man! Oh, my goodness. That is a big – that's a big number against the cap, no?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Big number against guys. So if you're the Chicago Bears, if you're sitting there right now and you got Coach Ditka in your office smoking a cigar, asking him for advice, you don't know what direction to turn, do you think the people and the management in Chicago think that Jay Cutler is the guy to lead them to a Super Bowl? Yes or no?
Are we still going with yes or no's here, Brandon?
Just yes or no, yeah. Just yes or no.
Okay, no.
Right. So if he, so let's put our puzzle together, shall we? So you don't think he's the, you don't think that they believe he's the guy to win a Super Bowl. He's due over $16 million next year. And they've had a disappointing season this year, to say the least. And you think there's a percentage chance that they might shop him around. So if you're the New York Jets, who are in desperate need of a quarterback, and you're in a draft position at 6 or 7, and you can bring in, say, an Amari Cooper, and you don't feel like Marcus Mariota's your guy, you don't feel like he is the man to lead your franchise, you don't feel like Jameis Winston is the man, you go out and you offer the Chicago Bears, let's say, a third rounder, a second rounder, a 2 third-round picks, whatever the case may be. You go out and put a feeler out there for Jay Cutler. How do you feel about that, Joe? No more yes or no question. No more yes or no answers. What do you think about Jay Cutler wearing New York Jets green next year?
Brandon, I'm not going to lie. While we were doing that whole yes or no thing, it was honestly hard to you know, hold the throat down from my stomach. You know, Jay Cutler is terrible. We all watched the game the other day. He can't
stop it right now. Hold on a second. You are not going to trash on Jay Cutler, who might have the hottest wife, history of wives, but that's the next, that's an outside of football scope, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's because he has a $16 million contract that he doesn't deserve. And the thing on top of that is I don't think that the GM is going to, after he signed a huge deal, is just going to let him go. And it's not because, you know, I don't think they think that Jay Cutler could lead him to the Super Bowl, but the question is there a better option out there in free agency or out there in the draft that is better than Jay Cutler? And I don't know if the answer is yes. So I don't think they're just going to shop him around after they decide to him to a huge contract. I think the more likely situation would be that they get a new coach and some new players and they give him another shot. I don't think he's going to be on the Jets. And if he can't perform on the Bears with the weapons they have, you know, I know we have some weapons too, but they have more weapons than we do. I do not want him here, and he's just getting old. He looked terrible last night.
You're such a Debbie Downer today, God.
His demeanor is terrible. He throws passes that are easy reads. I mean bad passes that are easy reads. And if you can put it on,
we got
we got
Parcells on the show tonight, everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, a little bit of Gruden, who, by the way, signed a 10-year, $20 million contract or whatever with ESPN, so he's not coming to the Jets. That's not happening, which we all I knew, basically. But honestly, I can tell you that you talking about Jay Cutler, I am more excited that Rontez Miles got signed to the roster today than I would be about Jay Cutler.
You wouldn't dream of an offense with Jay Cutler, Amari Cooper, Percy Harvin, Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, Jason Morrow, Chris Johnson, Chris Ivory. That wouldn't make you happy on Sundays.
Oh well, yeah. If I was playing Madden and I didn't have to worry about any cap space or anything like that,
the Jets can play Madden next year. They can turn off the cap space number going into their offseason next year. They got $75 million left to play. They could take Jay Cutler's $16 million salary, and it's like a bag of pennies to New York Jets next year.
And the thing with you know, getting Amari Cooper,
the CC boys are taking over New York next year. Cutler to Cooper.
I think the thing with Cooper is that I think that we'd have to get rid of Harvin, which I honestly don't think is going to happen. I think he's.
You could pay him $10 million. You have enough money to spread it around. What he wants, it could be Santa Claus next year. He can just spread the money around. Just throw it around. Cutler to Cooper, the next biggest duo in New York Jets football.
No, I don't think that we're gonna draft Cooper. But talking about receivers too, something that I saw about Eric Decker, he had another good game, Brandon, and he obviously had 7 receptions and 100 yards, and he only needs 3 more receptions to break the catches mark since 2008. So he's actually doing pretty solid. I know he dropped that ball, but I'm actually excited for him. A lot of people are on him right now. But I think Eric Decker has actually been pretty good. I think that Percy Harvin's going to stay here. I think that we'll get him maybe to negotiate down a little bit, especially if Izzik stays. But something else I want to talk to you about is, you know, Izzik, I heard two things about Izzik this week. Yeah, is you know, I heard that Isaac is doing coaching searches behind the scenes with Woody, that they're meeting with coaches and they're talking about coaches. But at the same time, I saw somebody retweet something on Twitter the other day that Woody Johnson actually favorited a tweet that somebody tweeted at him, like, oh, John Isaac is trash and the roster is trash and like that. And Woody Johnson actually favorited it. So I thought that was pretty crazy. I'm really confused about what's
happening
with John
Isaac
right now.
There's also been articles. Yeah, there's also been articles that Woody Johnson plans on keeping Rex Ryan and firing John Isaac. So, I mean, you don't, like I said.
Oh, well,
we
that, well, that,
here,
well, that looks, no, that, Brennan,
you
can, that
you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever
no,
you
that
want. You can say whatever you want.
That, no, that is yeah. That is from Manish, obviously.
No, that was on,
that,
that was on, that was Adam Schefter who reported that, by the way. That was Adam Schefter, who I think is one of the most credible football sources there is out there. So I think that was Adam Schefter was the one who reported that Rex Ryan, you know, there's talks about Woody Johnson. You don't know what's going to happen. We can sit here and talk like we do. We don't. It might be – is it a foregone conclusion that Rex Ryan is going to be fired? Probably. But we don't know. Woody Johnson and the Jets have done things to shock us. But we got to get to our game picks here as we move forward to the end of the year. How did we do there last week, Joe?
We both went 4-1, bringing you to 37-31, and I'm 44-24. So we both went 4-1. We both had a pretty good week. You know, I thought I was gonna go 5-0 until the Eagles Cowboys game, when on the first kick the Cowboys basically got a 45-yard onside kick on the Eagles because nobody decided to pick the ball up. So that was a really disappointing game. But you know, we're both 4-1.
Well, it looks like my run here at the Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week is coming close to an end. But I'm not giving up, and because I pick the games that we pick every week, we're going with 6 total games this week. It's the end of the year. We have so many big games in the NFL to pick this week. Let's get after it. As Atlanta goes into New Orleans, hey, this is like the Toilet Bowl Division Championship game here. Atlanta against the Saints. Who do you like and why?
They're 1-1 is 5-9 and 1 is 6-8. The Saints had a pretty impressive win against the Bears, even though obviously it was against the Bears, like I just said. They're terrible this year. We just talked about it before. But you know, I think the Saints are gonna win this. I think they're finally gonna shore up their position in the playoffs, which might be at 8-8, which is pretty embarrassing for the NFC. But, you know, the Falcons are on a good team. The Saints are still a decent team in my mind, even though they've been really bad at home and really a really underachieving team. But I think the Saints take this one and take the strong lead on their division.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. I think New Orleans is playing great football. They could easily win a playoff game. I really think if they get in playing at home in the Superdome, they could get hot at the right time. It would be remarkable to see how far New Orleans actually goes this year, and given the fact that they're going to get a home playoff game. KC goes into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh laying the smackdown last week. Who do you like in this one and why?
This is going to be a great game just because this is obviously a wild card fight because, you know, you have the Chiefs on the outside looking in. They're only a game down right now. And then you have the Steelers, you know, fighting with the Bengals and, well, the Browns are out of it now. But you have the Bengals and the Ravens. They're all fighting for it in basically a three-way race for the division lead and then for the wild card spot. So this game is a really important game for both teams trying to make the wild card. But I'm going to take the Steelers at home. The Chiefs are pretty unreliable, even though, you know, 1 week they'll smack the Patriots, and then the next week they'll lose to a team like the Raiders. So I'm going to take the Steelers in this one. They're historically the best franchise in the NFL with 6 Super Bowl wins, and I'm just going to stick with a strong franchise in this one to give them the wild card spot.
I think Pittsburgh is definitely playing better football right now. Kansas City seems like they're reeling a little bit. Pittsburgh is at home. I'm going to take the Steelers as well. I think Pittsburgh knows, you know, has that veteran, you know, leadership type mentality that knows how to win in big games. I don't think Kansas City's there yet. I think they had false hope and false advertising last year. They came back down to earth this year. Pittsburgh knows what it takes to win, and they're at home. I'm going to go with the Steelers. Indianapolis goes into Dallas. Dallas has to finish off the season strong if they want to win this NFC East crown. Who do you like in this one and why?
Yeah, this is another really good game. There's a lot, obviously it's December, it's late December, and this is when all the good teams are playing, and it's exciting to watch some of these games. Obviously, we don't get to enjoy that luxury with our team since, you know, we're 3-11. But you know, the Colts aren't really fighting for too much because look at their division. They have the Titans, the Jaguars, and Texans in it, so their spot is locked up. But you have the Cowboys really, really needing to win this game because the Eagles are right on their tail. But at the same time, you know, the Colts aren't, their quarterback is a guy named Andrew Luck. It's not a guy, you know, your boy, the sombrero, Mark Sanchez, who, by the way, Brandon, I just wanted to bring up a stat real quick, is Geno's QBR the last 3 weeks is 78.2 and Sanchez's is 80.3. And he is the first Eagles quarterback with four multi-turnover games since 1988. So I just want to say
that
it's a little bit different.
Does that make you happy?
Oh, yes. Yes, it actually does. It's one of the only smiles I've had on my face the whole entire week.
Feel better. Indy at Dallas.
Okay. I am going to take the Colts. It's not Mark Sanchez. It's Andrew Luck. And the Colts are going to win this one.
I think Big D gets the big W on Sunday. I think the Cowboys, I said it last week, if not when, now is the time for Dallas to get the win. I challenged the Dallas Cowboys last week. I am definitely sure that the reason why they beat the Eagles on Sunday night is because they heard my challenge on Jet Nation Radio. Jerry Jones and his group of men in their box heard me on this show here say the Dallas Cowboys need to win. They need to win now. I know it for a fact. They took my challenge. They beat the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. They took back what's theirs. If they want to do it, you got to keep beating good teams. They're at home. I like the Cowboys in this football game. Arizona goes to Seattle. Let me tell you something. Arizona's pretty stupid, in my opinion, if they're going to go try out Ryan Lindley against the Seahawks. Try and see if there's any – maybe Kurt Warner will come out of retirement from NFL Network to go sling the ball around for five games or something like that. I mean, I think they're really throwing away the season by letting a third-string guy start. You're already in the playoffs. You have a fantastic record. There's got to be somebody out there you can sign that's better than Ryan Lindley. There has to be. So I'm going with the Seahawks, and I think Seattle is going to put a stomp in the Arizona Cardinals this week. Because guess what? Bruce Arians is a little cocky in his press conference after another barn burner football game. He has no quarterback. They keep playing next man up over there. Pretty soon they're running out of guys in Arizona. Go sign a quarterback that can throw a football, you dope.
Yeah, I agree with you with that, Brendan. But the thing about the Cowboys game, which you're talking about, I guess that I don't know if you heard that Governor Christie was with Jerry Jones high-fiving each other in the press box.
Yeah, he
pissed off about
that. He relayed my challenge to Jerry Jones from Jet Nation
Radio. Yeah, Jerry Jones and Governor Christie were definitely listening to our show last week. That's probably why they won. But yeah, I agree with you with the Cardinals and the Seahawks game. I don't know why the Cardinals are starting their third string quarterback Ryan Lindley. I guess they're not signing another quarterback because, you know, there's only 2 weeks left in the year and there's no point of really getting a quarterback and hoping that Stanton comes back and can play for the playoffs. But, you know, the Seahawks are looking like the old Seahawks. Another week where they only let up 7 points to the 49ers, and a couple weeks before that, they only let up seven, two games in a row. It's 11-3 versus 10-4. The Seahawks are going to win this game for their division. The Cardinals really did not look good against I believe it was the Rams last week. So I'm gonna take the Seahawks. They're getting a little bit back into their stride. So I agree with you there, Brandon.
The Cardinals, it seems to me, it's like they're blowing an opportunity, you know, at this. It really does. I think that they really have a great chance to try and bring in somebody that could be competitive. You're going to tell me that Lindley's going to be competitive for them? I just don't see it. I think it's a joke. I think that they're making a huge mistake. I don't think that, you know, you have an opportunity to do some real damage here come the playoffs, and you're just sitting back and letting a next man up mentality, a stubborn mentality, ruin your season and ruin your chances. Denver goes into Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. Who do you like and why?
I think you know my answer for this one right now. That, like I said before, you know, or last show, the Patriots the Patriots and the Broncos are really fighting for that home field advantage right now, and I don't think the Broncos are going to let this slip away to the Bengals, even though the Bengals have been pretty good this year. I just think that the game is mostly Andy Dalton versus Tlaib and Harris. So, you know, and on top of that, you have A.J. Green, who hasn't been completely healthy this year. I just don't think that they can compete with the Broncos this week.
No, I think Denver's on a mission. I don't think Denver loses again the rest of the season. And I'm talking about playoffs as well. Let's go on to it now here. The Jets take on the New England Patriots. And the oomph game of the season. Everybody, it seems like I'm the only one who woke up on Monday with a little extra something in my stomach for this football game. Joe, Jets, Patriots, who do you like and why?
I'm excited to see the oomph you bring in. Hopefully, see your possible painted face. But you know, obviously, I hope the Jets win this game. They're not going to. If we lose this game, it locks us into at least getting a top six pick. So I think that's going to happen. I'm going to take the Patriots 27-17. Like I said before, Patriots and Broncos are fighting for home field. The Patriots aren't going to lose to a team like the Jets.
I think Tom Brady just did the. You know, remember after the press conference for the Super Bowl 42 when Plaxico Burress said they were only going to score 17 points, and he said, "Oh, we're only going to score 17 points." I think Tom Brady might have just heard you and said, "We're only going to score 27 points."
No. 27. Yeah. Well, they could very well, you know, come out and lay 45 on us. But you know, where I was going, you know, you have Geno versus Browner, and then you have Revis coming back in a Patriots uniform. I think he's going to dominate. In my personal opinion, I think that Revis is playing like the best cornerback in the NFL right now. You know, the Patriots are going to win this game. The Jets shoot themselves in the foot every game, dumb penalties. Red zone, we can't score in the red zone. We can't get off the field on third down on defense. Marty's play calling, like last week, against one of the worst rushing defenses
in
the NFL.
All right. You sound miserable. I told you this is
hold
the
on.
Week of oom. Come
hold
on.
Hold on, Brandon. Hold on.
Something. You're a chance.
I'll give you something.
Come on. You're a salesman. Tell me.
Okay.
Why am I going to this game?
I am going to this game because I want to see – you know, Geno has seven quarters with no turnovers, so I want to see 11. I want to see Calvin Pryor again, who impressed me last game, four tackles. He knocked Sean Green out. You know, I want to see the young guys. I want to see Ick, as we call him now. I want to see guys like Trevor Riley. I want to see some of these young guys perform because I really don't think we're gonna take this game away from the Patriots.
You know what?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm killing your own, Brandon. I'm sorry.
You didn't sell me. Do you want to hear how it's done? You want to hear? I'm gonna sell. You're a season ticket holder, right? Let's say you don't have season tickets. Do you want me to sell you on getting off your, you know what, on Sunday, putting your homemade nachos down, putting your grill in your car, getting your kids, going to MetLife Stadium? Remember, you got to, if you're parking in lot L, you're directed to a parking space, so make sure you're careful what you bring so you don't, you know, might not have enough room because they're directing you for parking in lot L. So I had to throw that out there. But let me go back to selling you for the football game. Pretend I work, you know, Woody Johnson might hire me after this. So you're getting up, you're going to the game. Do you know why? It's because the 3-11 New York Jets have something to play for. And that is, you would love nothing more than to sit there and watch the stunned look on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots face. They're sitting there. They're watching film this week on the Jets in Foxborough. They're laughing at the Jets. They're laughing at the way they've been playing football this year. They're laughing at Rex Ryan. They're laughing at us as fans for having to watch this. They take amusement in our sorrows and in our struggles as fans and our football team. And that's a fact. So you know what we do as Jet fans? We rally up together, all 40,000 of us that are left that are going to go to the game on Sunday. You get in the parking lot. You get there early. You tailgate with your friends and family. You go to that football game. You scream your head off, and you cheer your football team on because there's no greater feeling than watching that team, specifically that coach and that quarterback, be embarrassed that they lost to the Jets at their lowest point in the last 5 years. That's why you get up and you go to the football game on Sunday. Because if you're Rex Ryan and you know that you're coaching with both feet out the door and you're going to get fired, you don't think Rex Ryan wants to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady one more time? You don't think that Rex Ryan is going to put everything he has into this game plan just to stick it to those guys one more time? You don't think these players are going to have that same mentality to try and stick it to these guys one more time? So the coaches want to stick it to them, the players want to stick it to them, the fans should want to stick it to them. Get off your couches on Sunday, go to the football game, put your jersey on, check out tailgatejoe.com for a fun tailgate. Get excited for this game because the Jets want to spoil the Patriots party and shock the world on Sunday. And guess what? I'm picking the 10-point underdog New York Jets this week to upset the Patriots at home. It's going to be a crazy game. Everybody's going to be excited. We're throw the records out the window. Rex Ryan is going to beat Bill Belichick one more time before he goes this year. Mark it down right now. Go to the game on Sunday.
Do I give you my answer if I would hire if I would hire you now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm gonna say no, just because you mentioned the homemade nachos, and honestly, I think that homemade nachos are honestly a very hard thing to come by, and they're actually very hard to make. I've tried it a couple of times, and it never comes out good. So if I have my homemade nachos and they are good, and I got that chili on them or that meat on them, I'm gonna stick with my homemade nachos, and I'm gonna watch a guy who I am pumped that we signed to the team, Rontez Miles, right from my couch.
You know what? Shame on you. Shame on you.
What I have to say to you.
And you know what? I'll be there. I'm lining everybody up on Sunday. We're going to the tailgate. I'm doing it one more time. If you're a Jet fan, stand up. The tickets are cheap. Go support your team on Sunday. I don't care where they pick in the draft. The feeling of spoiling the Patriots party and their playoff seeding and sticking it to those guys in Rex Ryan's corner one more time, I think is bittersweet. I'm going for it. I'm picking the Jets, 10-point underdogs. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going with the nachos. Joe has his nachos. I'm picking the Jets on Sunday at 10-point dogs. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show tonight. Remember, the sports talk doesn't stop on Jet Nation Radio ever. Go on over to JetNation.com. The forums are exploding with new people every single day talking Jets. Do you want to see the Jets lose for draft positioning? Do you think Marcus Mariota is the guy? Who's going to be the general manager? Who's going to be the head coach? Who's going to be the pretzel guy? Who's going to be the guy directing parking in Lot L? There are so many questions, so many unleft, so many unfilled answers for the New York Jets. Check it out, JetNation.com. Subscribe in the forums. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. I'm not going to see you next week. I'm going to see you on Sunday, and then we're going to talk about a Jets win on Tuesday. How do you like that? See you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.